Welcome to the Perfecting Your Practice podcast, where we will talk about finance for the healthcare professional and medical practice owner. This series is brought to you by Bankers Healthcare Group, the leader in financing solutions for healthcare professionals. Since 2001, BHG has worked with more than 100,000 licensed practitioners to help them reach their financial goals. Perfecting Your Practice is designed to talk about ways you can invest in your career and practice in order to set yourself up for success. Now here's your host, Chris Panabianco, Chief Marketing Officer at BHG.
From massive student debt and outstanding loans to having to pay higher personal taxes and needing to make investments to further your profession, the cost for a healthcare professional can be massive. But even the smallest steps, when taken deliberately and steadily, can take you far in trying to get those costs under control. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and welcome to the show. I'm Chris Panabianco, Chief Marketing Officer at Bankers Healthcare Group. Today I'm joined by financial expert Bill Kriesel. Bill's a CPA and financial planner who supports teams at Bowers & Company and Diversified Capital Management. And we've interviewed him for our blog earlier this year about saving for retirement. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a CPA at Bowers & Company, as you mentioned. I've been a CPA since the late 80s. In addition to that, I am a registered principal, which is the nice word for stockbroker and insurance agent. So we offer products as well as planning services.
And I see that you were a chair on the Personal Financial Planning Committee in your past. Tell me a little bit about that. What did that do in your past?
Yeah, that's the New York State Society of CPAs. Financial planning has become a relatively new expertise for CPAs. Started about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And I was lucky enough to spend a few years chairing that committee for New York as well as running their annual seminar.
So I've noticed that you've actually shifted from accounting as a CPA to more of a financial planner. Can you walk me through what made you transition and what it's been like?
The transition, it's actually an interesting story. We talked about it at my accounting firm for a couple of years. Should we be offering these services? Because it was new. What we found was we'd have clients that sometimes got great financial advice and sometimes got not so great financial advice. So we decided it was time for us just to give them the financial advice so that, well, at least we thought it was great.
Excellent. And what we've noticed too, we work with healthcare professionals. A lot of our listeners are licensed healthcare professionals, whether they're doctors, dentists, vets, various specialties. But what we've seen is that they're not as prepared. They're very well versed in their craft and in their field, but they're not getting that training or the how-to when it comes to their financial planning, when it comes to taxes and things of that nature. What have you seen?
Well, we do see that a lot. Some doctors and healthcare professionals are really, really involved and spend a lot of time focusing on that. But often we find that they're so busy with all the requirements they have to keep up with and the patient load and all the other administrative stuff that they just can't really focus on that. So there are a lot of times when we're having a conversation with somebody and about, what are they saving? What are they doing? And the answer is, I don't really know.
It can be daunting. I can only imagine with all the stress they have, especially nowadays, as they come out of school. And that's what we're going to focus on today, are really the healthcare professionals that when they come out of school, what are they facing? What are some tips? What are some things they can do that this podcast can help them that they can take and improve their financial standing? We know that as they come out of school, the financial debt's huge. It costs more and more to go to medical school, and the loans that they're carrying after that, as well as the increased tax obligations, practice investments, continuing education. What's some advice? What are some of the things you hear for any of your clients that are just coming out of school?
Well, student loan debt is the first thing. It's such a big number and so daunting when you look at it. And there's some things you can do to make it a little better, but there's no perfect answer that just makes everything good. So what we normally talk to people about is, say, let's gather up all the different student loans you have, take a look at them, see what the payment terms are, see what the interest rates are, and then have a conversation about how best to tackle them, whether it be refinancing, sometimes deferrals, which generally I don't like because you're just building up interest for the most part. It's going to cost you more in the long run. With the refinances, if you can get a lower rate, that makes sense. One issue that I've seen with refinancing is, there might be a guarantor on there or something, and sometimes you lose some of the benefits that you might have had with the original loans, such as forgiveness if the physician were to pass away. some student loans are forgiven. On a refi, that often doesn't happen. Therefore, you got to make sure you get life insurance on the medical professional to make sure that the guarantor doesn't get stuck with a huge debt of their own.
What are the majority of people that come to you when you're having that conversation? Do they go refi, or do they? What do you suggest the majority of the time?
Most are refinancing now because the interest rates are pretty reasonable out there in the market today. There are several carriers out there who are looking to do refinance student loans. Interest rates are 5 to 6% in some cases, and that's lower than what they have now. And it also lets you consolidate it all into one package, so you have one payment to worry about and monitor.
Do you find that medical professionals coming out that you've talked with, they really understand what they were getting into? Because a lot of people we talk to, it's all about the why. Why did they become a healthcare professional? I wanted to help people. I wanted to take care of people. But there's a cost to even get there. Yes, you're going to make good money. But do you see that a lot of them understood what they were getting into? Because a lot of the people I encounter, friends that aren't in healthcare, they went and spent all this money and they come out laden with debt and they just didn't realize it. Well, I thought this was just what you do.
No, I think you nailed it perfectly. People who aren't in medical professions often do that. I found most of the medical professionals I've dealt with did know what they were getting into and knew what the debt was going to be and, anticipated they'd have enough income to cover that. I just recently had a young woman who graduated with $200,000 of debt who had a job paying $40,000 a year, and that was what her career was going to be. Now, that's an absolute disaster. The medical professionals with that kind of debt at least should have an income to support it.
What do you tell people that have that situation? What do you do?
There's nothing you can do. What we ended up with that one is we did do a refinance. They did have to have a guarantor. They had a relative give some money to make it worthwhile, and she's got a 30-year repayment stream at $1,100 a month. And
That's tough. And, you see that more and more. The people that we encounter, healthcare professionals, fortunately, are coming out of school, yes, saddled with debt, but their income and future income earning potential is there to support that and not as grisly a situation as what you talked about. What are some of the recommendations you have for a young professional who is saddled with debt?
Well, the biggest thing, after you figure out exactly what you're going to do with the loan is to budget, make a plan. So you're going to have some significant monthly payment for the student loan debt. You have to set that aside. You have to look at what your living expenses are, what your after-tax cash flow is coming in each and every month, and then start setting your other priorities for what you're going to do. If you have targeted to buy a house, new car, still plan to live and go out to eat occasionally, do a vacation, start doing some retirement savings because there's tax incentives for it, and the earlier you start, the better off you are. Sometimes you got to delay buying a house a little bit because you got to get the student loans under control first. You just have to budget and have a plan for it.
So if you are fortunate to be in one of those specialties where income, your earning potential goes up, what are some suggestions for as that income increases and your tax bracket changes? What does that mean for you?
Well, you're going to pay more taxes because that is what's going to happen. So again, you just have to plan for it. You have to be aware of it. It shocks some medical professionals when they go from a certain level of income to another and they find out instead of paying 20% taxes, now they're paying 35%, and it's a big difference. The key is to keep communicating with whoever your tax advisor is, or if you're doing it yourself, to pay attention to realize what's going to happen. Every time you get a raise, you got to kind of take a look and see, what's this net going to be to me, and not spend the gross amount because then you're going to have to pay the tax man.
You mentioned something very important. If someone's listening to this and they say, okay, I've got this income change, and do I do it myself? Do I go online? Do I go to a brick and mortar? Do I, find a professional? What do you suggest?
Well, as a CPA professional who does taxes, I kind of recommend CPA professionals who do taxes.
It was a loaded question.
Yeah, but that's not necessary for everybody. If the returns, if you're working as an employee, not an owner or a partner, you're getting a W-2. With the new tax law, a lot of people aren't itemizing due to the changes in the standard deduction or the standard exemption. So it's really not that difficult to do your own return right now if you've got a basic, simple thing, and if you have the time and you're willing to put the effort in. It's probably better if you do it yourself because you'll know exactly what's happening. not a bad idea to have someone check it, though.
Fact or fiction, it can be done on an index card.
Oh, that's not true.
You've heard it here. False news, folks. Another question. You know, one of your areas of expertise is risk management. What should our listeners who are young healthcare professionals know about managing their financial risk?
There's all types of risk. You know, there's investment risk that you got to, when you start doing investments, you got to start thinking about how much risk am I willing to take. And then there's other risks, life insurance, you know, the risk of an early demise, you know, young professionals who are married and have two or three kids, maybe. If there's one main wage earner, we better have some pretty healthy life insurance on that person. Generally, you want to have 10 to 20 times in life insurance what you have in compensation to try to replace your lost income if something were to happen to you. Then we've got disability insurance, which for medical professionals is often hard to get.
Why is that?
There's a couple reasons. Disability insurance is very individualized, and in certain medical professions, because it's so strenuous and stressful, it can lead to more potential disability, and the insurance companies know that, so they rate that higher. Also, for certain medical professionals, they know how to fake injuries, and the insurance companies know that as well, and what they can say hurts that the insurance company can't prove isn't real.
What are some of the injuries you've heard of?
Back injuries, usually.
Okay.
Hard. My understanding is it's hard to find out if it's real or not.
Okay. Listeners, don't pay attention to that.
I'm not suggesting anyone do that.
We have a disclaimer that'll be read at the end of this interview. So say I'm a new grad and I'm trying to manage my debt and daily expenses. I don't need to think about retirement yet, or should I?
You don't have to think about it like it's coming up really soon, but you should take a part of your income, 5%, 10%, 3%, whatever the number is, and start putting it away. Certainly you want to look at your employer, how much they're willing to match on a 401k contribution or something of that. That's just a free raise. You got to do everything you can to get that money in. And the more money you put in younger, the easier it gets as you get older. You know, we all think, okay, I'm 30 now and I'm making this amount of money. It doesn't matter what I put away, because when I'm 55, I can just catch that up because I'll be making exponentially more. You'll be spending a lot more, though, too, and you'll have kids, and they might be in college, and you might be taking care of your parents. So I'd love to say it gets super easy as you get into your 40s and 50s and 60s, but if you start planning earlier, it does make it a lot easier.
Typically, what would you suggest as far as savings level? 25 times, 30 times? What do you suggest for someone? If the average healthcare professional earns about $250,000 a year, $200,000 a year, how much should they have by 55 or 60 saved up for retirement?
There is no magic number. It's, yeah, what you want to have saved up for retirement is enough to kick off the income that you're going to want to live in retirement. So if you want to have $250,000 a year in retirement income and you've got no other defined benefit pension or anything, you've got Social Security hopefully to count on, you know, you want about 20 to 25 times in savings what you're going to want to pull out each year.
One of the other big topics that I've seen in doing research for this interview is the amount of stress and things that new doctors are facing. You know, they have all the time and effort that they just put in to become a licensed healthcare professional. They have larger income, as we've just talked about. They have larger debt, but there's also the Affordable Health Care Act. There's HIPAA, there's Medicare. They're overloaded, and they're not spending their free time studying complex tax code, reviewing business contracts, and handling books. What's some advice you have? Because you've seen it all.
The advice is to rely on the professionals that you have who are looking into all that stuff. You know, because you're right, it's ridiculously complex, both, you know, from a tax and regulatory angle, and then you've got all the state rules and the HIPAA rules and the insurance rules. Yeah, no one's going to know all that. You got to have the right people working on that for you.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about how your personal finances, in good standing or bad, can affect you professionally?
Well, the more stable you are financially, it takes a lot of stress off your life as well. Professionally, you certainly don't want, you know, a reputation around town that you don't pay your bills or you don't do this or you don't do that. That's always going to hurt you. But the key is you just want to be stable in every part of your life. That's how you can go about more comfortably and get to where you want to be.
Excellent. And if there's one message that our listeners could take away or should take away from our discussion today, what is it?
budget and plan. Those are the key things. You gotta plan for it. You know, we often say it's like a roadmap. You know where you are. You got to figure out where you want to get to and get a plan to get there. Now, that might mean becoming an owner of a practice. It might mean just being an employee through the years, but you got to kind of say, here's where I am today. Here's what I want to have when I get ready to retire. I want to retire around this time and start planning for it. Now, of course, it's going to change and you're going to have to fine tune it or dramatically change it as time goes on. But that's the key. You got to plan.
On the planning side, from a yearly standpoint, when is it too early? When is it too late to start planning for the following year?
You start planning for the following year, a year or two or three before. You're always planning for the years ahead. Yeah, you know, it's not normally a 1 or 2 year plan. It's a lifetime plan. The short term needs, like I'm going to buy a house in 3 years. Okay, now that's a plan that you got to kind of separately set aside and say, here's what I'm going to need as a down payment. Here's what I can afford as a mortgage, and start putting that away monthly for the next, you know, 24 or 36 months. Longer term needs, you're just always planning for.
If you're listening and you find yourself overwhelmed, or you know, you're a little bit behind the eight ball, what's the best place to start?
Best place to start is to sit down and do a financial statement for yourself. Just list everything that you own and its values, and everything you owe and its values, and hopefully that comes out positive. At the beginning, right after you get out of school, it's probably not going to. But you've got to then look at your income and say, how do I make this positive and how do I make it work? Sometimes that means spending a lot less than you are. You just got to put that plan together. But the starting point is your own personal balance sheet, just to see where you are.
If I am just getting out of school, how often should I pay attention to this?
A lot of people do it monthly. I think that's too much. I think that's, you know, stressing yourself out too much. If you do it, you know, a lot of people say December 31st, I'm going to sit down and just put it together again and see how I did over this year, and that'll help me plan what I have to do the next year. So you set goals each year, not New Year's resolutions because we don't keep those. But
those last till about February.
Yeah,
so,
but real
those
goals.
Those are just mine.
Yeah, real goals. Just, you know, here's where I am today. Here's where I'd like to be in a year, and set aside how you get there.
Great. Well, Bill, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. There's some real good information for all of our listeners, whether you're in school, just getting out, or you've been in the field for a while. Everything Bill mentioned today and we discussed is applicable, and I hope it has value. So that's it for today. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. If you have any thoughts, comments, or opinions, please shoot me an email at podcast@bhe-inc.com. I'd love to hear from you. Bill, if anyone would like some advice or to contact you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way is probably by email. It's wtk@bcplc.com.
Excellent. Well, Bill, thanks again. It was a pleasure. And that's it for today, folks. Really appreciate you listening. We'll see you next time.
For episode notes and worksheets, please visit perfectingyourpracticetoday.com. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with your peers. Thanks for listening to the Perfecting Your Practice podcast, presented by Bankers Healthcare Group, the leading provider of financial solutions for healthcare professionals. To learn more about BHG's working capital loans, business startup loans, credit cards, and patient financing, visit bankershealthcaregroup.com.